Blessed are those who hear the words of the prophecy. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 256. It's August 27, 2015. Today we begin the book of Revelation. We're not going through the whole book of Revelation. I have to tell you that up front. I just have entered back into Revelation myself in my daily devotions and found some things that I wanted to share in some cases repeat, because I've said some of these things before, especially in the book that I wrote about it, which I'll tell you about a little bit later. And I'm not selling that. That's all free online. You can buy the book if you want it all together. But everything that I've ever said about Revelation is right here at Sermon Audio in PDF text or in the audio form. Right up front, as we're studying the book of Revelation, we come up with an issue that I put in a blog yesterday. And you can read it yourself there at Sermon Audio. It's called, What Do You Mean Soon? But I want to share that with you here, too, if you didn't see the blog, or even if you did. And if you like what you hear now, you can print that out later. But look at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And he went and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. And then it goes on to verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy. God's putting a blessing on you right now. He will, as I share these things from Revelation, God's going to be blessing you. Blessed is he who hears, not only hears it, but then it says heeds or does the things which are written in it. That must mean that somewhere in the book, there's something that you're supposed to do. And it's kind of scattered throughout. It's largely prophetic history, that is history in advance, things that are going to happen. But every once in a while, you'll see God telling you to do something, especially in chapters 2 and 3. Blessed is he who reads and hears the words of the prophecy and listens to or heeds the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, those two things, verse 1, they must soon take place, and the time is near. Let me just share the blog with you. Many of us have struggled for years over the issue of the timing of Jesus' coming. In one sense, it doesn't matter. Now, I know what people say. It doesn't matter. Come on. We're supposed to be faithful at all times, and there's so many more important issues in the Bible. Why should we be messing with Bible prophecy and all these things about Jesus coming? All I'm concerned about is that he's coming. I've heard it all. I understand why some people think it doesn't really matter. I mean, they'll just write off the whole book of Revelation. You won't find too many people teaching, pastors and teachers from the book of Revelation in your church and in mine and in all churches, because it's so controversial and people don't want controversy in their church, because when people hear something that they heard differently somewhere else, they'll go that place or they'll find a third place. We're afraid to teach the word just as it is, or even to search with people. I don't have perfect answers through the book of Revelation, but I have some things, and I want to share them. And I hope the church will wake up to this, that we've got to hear these things. We want to hear what God has said in his word. Don't keep it a secret from us because you're afraid to lose members. In a more important sense, this matters terrifically. Since Jesus took time to tell his disciples the answers to their question, when are you coming? What will be the signs of the end? Jesus didn't say, hey, all that really matters is that I'm coming. Don't ask this. No, he gave them a whole chapter, Matthew 24, a long talk about when he's coming and the signs. And people have messed with it and fussed over it. And I don't want to get into bad-spirited argument. I don't mean that. I don't want to get into division, but we've got to share what's in there the best we know how. And if somebody else has an idea that needs to be advanced, we need to listen to it and take it all into consideration. It's not easy stuff. Book of Revelation in particular, not easy. But it's still got to be approached. Why do we let it go? This is why we have so many baby churches. They're afraid to go beyond the basics and build on these other things. I know this is not a basic, but it's very important. He gave us the clues that we need to figure things out. I didn't understand anything when I first started all this, but I understand a lot now. I don't understand it all yet, but I understand a whole lot more now that I've studied and I've compared this with that. And oh my, it starts to blossom. You start to see stuff that you didn't see before. Keep digging. If your leaders won't give it to you, then you go after it yourself. We can never treat lightly what Jesus considers important. Now, as I said, I've been rereading Revelation lately, and right there in verse 1, there it is. The book of Revelation is about things which must soon take place. What? Wait a minute. In the book of Revelation, there's the second coming. There's the millennium. There's the judgment. None of that's happened, right? We all can agree on that, I think. At least Bible-believing evangelical Christians can all agree. Jesus hasn't come back yet. We haven't started the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, I guess some people even argue about that. But I, as I look around down the street at the abortion clinic and the Admiral Theater there in Albany Park and the bars, and Jesus isn't ruling this earth. You think that kind of stuff's going to go on when Jesus is ruling the earth? Give me a break. But all that stuff's in Revelation. It's all future. It's been 2,000 years already, and Jesus said, soon. Soon. That's the English word that we use. Pre-trib people point right away to their special doctrine of imminence. See, we don't know when he's coming. We got to be ready at any minute because he could come right now. Well, this teaching has been proved false several ways in Scripture. First, Paul says that day of Jesus' return, 2 Thessalonians 2, that day will not come. Will not come until the Son of Man, the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed. Second, Jesus himself said that his return will be after the Great Tribulation, Matthew 24. You can look it up, read the context. He's not coming until after the Great Tribulation. That's what it says. I'm not making stuff up. We've believed this for all these hundreds and hundreds of years. The church has taught that. On a lesser level, you could look at things like Paul and Peter, both of them, talking about their coming death. God showed me that I'm going to die, such and such, and that my work is finished. Well, that must mean that between the time he said that and the time he died, Jesus could not have come. He wasn't living with this imminence idea. At the very least, Jesus couldn't have come until they died. So it wasn't any day now, any minute now, to them. Can we agree on that? No, we've got to examine further. Stop watching the movies. Stop reading the textbooks around about these things and get into the Bible. What does God say about this? Imminence doesn't answer what we just talked about, Revelation 1:1 or 1:3. That says that the time is near or at hand. There must be another way to approach these statements about Jesus soon coming. Here's some possibilities. And I have to throw them out as possibilities. I wouldn't be surprised to find that one of them is the right one. I know that one of them has to be the truth. I'm not sure which way to go with this. Can you deal with a teacher that's not sure? One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Now, we've heard that a lot of times. And that could be the possible answer to this dilemma. One day is with the Lord as 1,000,000 years. Or God does not deal with time like we deal with time. That could be the answer. In God's eyes, the coming of Jesus truly is very soon. When he wasn't lying to us, he really meant it in his heart from the way he sees things. It's very soon. very soon. The only reason then that we have to, we can surmise this, that things have slowed down in our world of time, and we look at it as slow. You know, people are going to mock us at the end, Peter said, and say, where's the promise of his coming? It's been a long time, and they're looking at time. We're looking at an eternal God, not a God of time. And perhaps the only reason that we can give to them when they ask that, beyond trying to explain this to them that I'm trying to explain, is to tell them, hey, God's giving you, sir, a chance to come to Christ. He's extending the time for you. Now, I'm talking about the mockers. People who are in Christ, they don't mock one another when it comes to these things. But you might be able to explain to them, hey, the only reason we haven't gone to heaven yet is because you need to get saved. And God's giving you some time, and you need to take advantage of that time. Giving the world time to repent of their sins. He is merciful. He is long-suffering. He is waiting. There is a people that he has seen from the foundation of the world. He saw you. I won't get into all the rest of that. I know what you're thinking I'm going to say next, but no, at least we all agree he saw you, and he's not going to say it's quitting time until everybody that he saw is in. So he shows his mercy. That's one possibility. There's a second possibility, and that is the gap that we see in Bible prophecies. It's really related to number one. Isaiah, through the Holy Spirit, saw a person that would come, and we know he came 700 years later, name of Jesus, but somebody that was going to come as a child, and then the government would be upon his shoulder. Wait a minute, he came as a child, but the government, what government? The government of the world. But is the government of the world on Jesus' shoulders now? Well, yes, in one sense, he's in charge. I know nothing happens without him, but we're talking about a personal reign of Jesus Christ, and it hasn't happened yet. Isaiah wrote what he heard, but his brain, like ours, couldn't see, couldn't understand, couldn't comprehend a 2,000-year gap between child and governor. We think that he just, I mean, if you were Isaiah and the people of that day and the Jews of all time, they're thinking he'll be born, he'll become a man, and then he'll kind of take over the world. That's what the prophecy seems to be saying. That's the natural way to look at stuff. But don't you know that the Bible is supernatural, and we have to look with supernatural eyes when we read it? There was a gap. There was a huge gap. 2,000 years so far between his birth and his ruling the world. But they saw it as one thing. Micah 2. Micah sees one that's coming from Bethlehem in chapter 5, who's going to rule all. Well, he's come from Bethlehem, but he doesn't rule all yet. Huge gap in the prophecies. There's other places in the Old Testament where that kind of thing happens. You see one thing next to another thing, and you think, well, that's going to happen right after that, but it didn't happen because there's this gap. What's missing? What's missing is the age in which we live. I hate to be called a dispensationalist. There's a lot of bad stuff that goes along with dispensationalism, I understand, but I can't help but see that we are in a very, very different dispensation than the Jews were, right? I mean, the Jews were told to take up arms and go kill their enemies. My goodness, the Christians used to think that that's what they were called to do too. Unfortunately, the Roman Catholic system was great in this. They thought that Christ was telling them to kill people. And unfortunately, some of their daughters, the Protestants who came after them, believed the same thing. Even to the Puritans, who were holy and beautiful in so many ways, thought they were supposed to take up a sword and kill people in the name of Jesus. No, we don't do that. Jesus said to the disciples, you don't know what spirit you are of. This is different. This is different. John said, let's kill him. Let's let the lightning fall. And no, John, stop. We're not in that anymore. We're doing something different now. We're calling people out. We're calling people out by grace, through faith. I'm building a kingdom here. There'll come a time of blood. Don't think that Jesus is done with blood. He's coming back, and he'll take care of all the blood shed himself. Judgment is coming to the world. But right now, that's not what we do. That's not what we do. It's a different age. And it looks like the prophets didn't see it. They saw the beginning of it, and they see the end of it. But all this 2,000 years in between, I don't believe there's one prophecy about anything that's happened in these 2,000 years, except, of course, the ongoing thing about the Holy Spirit. But that was at the beginning. They didn't see all the, they didn't see Billy Graham. They didn't see, and what a mighty work he did. What a mighty work he did. What a mighty work that many have done through the years. And you don't see anything about them in the Bible, because the prophets didn't see that. Do you realize? Do you realize? I've run out of time. I do not believe this. I haven't got past the first couple verses. We're going to have some fun, or I am anyway, in the book of Revelation. Please join me tomorrow as we continue in it. Let me see what else I want to say to you. It's too bad when you have to look at a piece of paper to find out what you want to say. There it is. All right, this podcast comes to you every day. It features the works of some great men of God, and then I do some things too. We've got North Korea updates. We've got a lot of stuff going on in the podcast. I would like it if you will write me a note and say, I would like your Jesus book, Who is Jesus? It's a 20-page book. I just want to give it to you free. Just send me your address. I will get it to you free. Postpaid, no further contact, I promise you. Just send me a note. And then for this study, I'm not giving this away, although as I said, the book called The Scroll of Revelation, it's online. All my Revelation stuff is online. You can look it up as you're there online. It's if you want to go buy it, however, very, very inexpensive. I've forgotten prices on all of these, but it's at, hold on, it's at www.createspace.com, just like it sounds, createspace.com, and don't put any spaces in there, www.createspace.com, then put a /385-8535, like a phone number, 385-8535. Put all that together without any interruption, and you'll come up to that book that you can order. When you go that way, the ministry gets just a little bit more profit. I mean, it's very little, but it helps us. Or if you can just go to amazon.com/ the word author, another /, and then my name with a B, B. Faulkner, B. Faulkner. And you'll see all my books that I've put on amazon.com. Oh, it's good to talk to you. It's good to share these things. And I made a note somewhere that I was going to start doing the podcast in the evening. And here I am in the morning again. Bear with me. God willing, every day you're going to hear from me. But because of the work schedule and things that are going on right now, I can't always tell you when it will be. So bless God. It's good to be with you. Don't forget the scripture that we started with, and it's a very important one. Blessed are those who hear the words of this prophecy. Amen and amen. Okay, gotta go.